Thank you for joining Asia's best radio station.
Download latest podcasts of Carry On Harry Show on iTunes.
Now shake hands with celebrities on Singapore talk show, Carry On Harry.
Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry talk show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.
Hi friends, welcome to yet another episode of Carry On Harry Talk Show with your talk show host Harry Johal. Today we are going to invite radio personality, motivational speaker and author Alicia Brown on our show. Well, Alicia is known as the Joy Guru. That's a title that has been bestowed upon her because of the kind of work that she does to make people feel full of happiness, not just by her speaking engagements, but her personal personality is like that. And today she's joining with us on our show to talk and discuss about her life, about her mission in life. And also she has written a wonderful book by the title Sometimes All You Have Is Happy, A Guide to Obtaining Happiness While Awaiting Your Dreams. Well, I'm very much sure that we are going to learn quite a lot of things from the Joy Guru. And so let's get in connection with her and get to know more about.
This is Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru, and good morning to you. You're listening to Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru, on Carry On with Harry Show. I'd like to just tell you today that happiness and joy are your portion, and they are well within your grasp, and there is always a chance to have life after death. For this and more inspirationals, follow me at thejoyguru.net. And keep listening to Carry On with Harry. Hello?
Hi, Miss Alicia. This is Harry calling from Singapore.
Yes, how are you?
I'm perfectly fine. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you. I know it's really early where you are.
Yes, it's about 7 a.m. over here in Singapore. But you see, it's also, you know, kind of a blessing for me because I come in touch with such wonderful personalities like you. You know, have.
Well, as long as you're not opposed to being up this early, neither am I. Actually, for us, it's closer to, like, you know, closer to 7 p.m.
Yes, correct. Anyway, Miss Alicia, you are here to enlighten my audience, you know, with your thoughts. And I am very much sure that, you know, the personal experiences of your life and you turning up into a motivational coach, speaker, also a book author, will definitely going to, you know, empower my audience. So
I certainly hope so.
So how should we begin? Like, I want to know a little bit about your story, you know, before turning as a Joy Guru, you know, getting that title of Joy Guru. What actually happened in your life? What is your story? Let my audience know about it.
Okay. And you like me to tell you right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, absolutely. My story is that I grew up with childhood abuse, and it was verbal and it was emotional. Hmm. And often throughout those years, my father was the abuser, but often throughout those years, there was a lot of suicide, there was a lot of sadness, and like a lot of people that go through that experience, I felt like I did not have a voice. So as you can imagine, especially if you're abused from a very young age, you feel like you have no voice. It's harder for you to recognize that you have a purpose, and you just feel like you're constantly suffering. So that is the part that I can connect with people, regardless of their age and regardless of their situation, just that immense suffering, that unhappiness. Something has happened to you that you did not cause, and you're still left so many years later trying to figure out how to pick up your pieces and move on.
Fine. So that means in that kind of a scenario, there were very less chances for anybody to, you know, pick up a particular, you know, style of personality, you know, a strong personality. But then how did this kind of, you know, transformation came within you that today you are known more as a Joy Guru? I'm very much sure there must be, you know, some defining moments in your life, you know, which ultimately led you into what you are today.
You know, it's very hard to pinpoint. I will say that the one thing that I had working in my favor. From a very young age, my parents were very spiritual. So, of course, you know, especially as an American, that's our tradition. You go to the house of worship and you learn things. And one of the things I did was when I was 4 years old, I taught myself to read. So I was an avid reader. You know, the library was, for me, my only safe place. So I read stories and read all type of books, different genres. And one of the things that really, there were moments where I just knew I couldn't take the suffering anymore and I wanted to end my life. And I would read something. I would read somebody's testimony of abuse. I would read somebody's book, some star or celebrity. Something happened to them. And that would give me enough strength to say, you know, I don't know about tomorrow, but I think I'm going to hang on one more night. Just to, you know, my story isn't quite as bad as theirs, so I'm going to hang in there just one more night. And that's why now I'm really passionate about writing books and sharing my story and sharing the things I've learned in this span of living to transition to that other side, because I truly believe our things we go through, the suffering that we go through, it is the answer for somebody else. Sometimes people just need to know that someone else went through something similar, somebody else can relate to them and understand their pain, and that someone else can share with them that there is a life after. There is some joy. There is some happiness. Your life doesn't have to just be in shambles, but you are able to do the work, to pick up the pieces, and you are able to move on.
Correct. What you said, I do agree with you, and the tools of, you know, books became your, you know, a kind of a ladder, you know, to emerge from that depth of, you know, those verbal abuse that you had to face, you know, within your close circles to what you are today, really help you in a way. And I'm very much sure that my listeners will definitely, you know, gain something from you. But I want to take you a little bit back again. Miss Alicia, mm-hmm. while those, you know, verbal abuse were happening around you and you were, you know, discouraged at every, you know, point where you didn't have got any say, as you earlier mentioned, I want to, you know, bring out the aspect of the child's personality or a person's personality out. You know, what actually goes around in the mind of the kid or a person, you know, who has got this kind of an environment where, you know, every day you are being abused. What I want to bring out from you is that the other people who are actually, you know, trying to abuse or, you know, trying to inflict that kind of, you know, impose that mm-hmm. kind of a restriction on a person so that they realize, you know, what actually goes on into the mind of the kid. So could you please recall those moments, you know, while you wanted to do something or say something and you were every time, you know, suppressed, what actually went into you, and so that my other listeners who are facing this kind of an issue can, you know, relate to your story.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of the things I've done now to pay it forward as a motivational speaker. I go back to children because I can relate to the frustrations. I can relate to the struggles. And the one thing I want to make an impression on adults as well as children, in the mind of the child that's being abused, as almost any abuser, the first question is, what did I do? We have a tendency as a victim to blame ourselves. I must have done something because this person doesn't love me. This person takes every opportunity to be mean to me. And, you know, people forget the power of their words. Or a lot of times, you know, those who are the abuser say things like, well, you know, my parents said that to me and far worse. You know, I've been through that, and, you know, this kid has it easy, but they do not understand. We all have a certain level of what we can take and what we can put up with. And, you know, sometimes just one simple harsh word, you know, one demeaning phrase, one thing that you pick on that child for can just crush that young little spirit. And we forget that, you know, children do not have that wisdom. They don't have the life experience. They're very vulnerable. They're like those open books or that sponge that just soaks in and absorbs everything. So, you know, the same way you can say a kind word can just give them so much encouragement and brighten their day and put a smile on their face, that's the exact opposite when you go out of your way to be mean or destructive or say something that's nasty. And actually what people don't understand, especially the abuser, you are destroying the fabric of that child. You know, just I go back to my experience, you know, in school, I was the short, fat kid. Mm-hmm. So, of course, in school, most of us had something that people picked on us for. But for a child, that's so devastating because we all want to be loved. We all want to be liked and accepted and feel like we're good. So when you have that environment in school where someone's putting you down or says something unkind to you, you come home. Home is supposed to be a safe haven, a happy place, a place where you're restored and you're built up. But, you know, if you're abused at home, here's another spot where you're torn down. So if that child has no safe place to go to, you know, often you have young kids that commit suicide because they're wondering, what did I do wrong? Why can't I be loved? And if I'm not good enough, well, my life just has no purpose and it's not worth living. So maybe I should just kill myself because I just can't take it anymore. And we all have a breaking point.
Absolutely right. I can really, you know, understand, you know, what situation, you know, you might have faced. And there are a lot of other millions of kids also who are, you know, going through all this. God forbid, you know, this kind of a thing happen where, you know, child is, you know, ultimately thinking about, you know, committing a suicide. But since now we have, you know, you have already overcome, you know, that kind of situation, and we can really pull out some more people out of this kind of a depressing, you know, situation in their life. So books are one tool which you, you know, which really help you. So can you please tell my listeners, like, what sort of motivational stuff or things they should really, you know, look forward to if they really want to, you know, change the situation in their life?
Absolutely. First, I think one of the things that we don't do enough of, especially, you know, I can say for the United States of America, we are just not honest. And that's one of the things, too, that's so destructive about childhood abuse, any abuse for that matter. Hmm. You're taught to say everything is okay. You're taught to put that smile on. Don't air your dirty laundry. Keep it in your home and just go outside and you put on that smile. Everything's okay. But it's not okay. And we have a way of talking to ourselves. I call it abusive language, or the language of, you know, someone that's been abused. And you keep saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And the more you keep saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, everything just falls apart. It seems like things worsen. So number one, you need to be honest about what happened. You know, whether you start by writing it down on paper, you know, sometimes it's so hard just to verbalize because you've practiced not saying it, not saying the truth, not telling. But, you know, sometimes you need to just come out with the, I'm not okay. And it's okay to give yourself permission to say, I'm not well. I'm not okay. There's nothing shameful about that. And then after you admit there's a problem, you have to be willing to say, what happened to me, regardless of the type of abuse. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be willing to ask for help. Because so often, again, going through that scenario, you keep it private. So, of course, you can't reach out for help because if you did, you know, a lot of times the abuser makes you feel no one will believe you. Or, you know, they'll think you're stupid or they'll think something's wrong with you because, of course, something has to be wrong with you for someone to treat you that way. So, first, you have to admit there's a problem. Two, you have to be open at least to one person, even if it's a therapist or someone you trust, a friend or family member, to be honest about what happened. And third, you have to give yourself permission to be honest and say you need help. There is nothing wrong with seeking help for a problem. Actually, there's something wrong if you don't seek help when you know you have a problem.
Correct. I think this is also quite a good, you know, advice that unless we admit what is happening in our life and unless we really, you know, take the first step of seeking help from someone or whom we trust and we know that, you know, this person is somewhere, you know, going to understand us and also, you know, will be somebody who will be like a catalyst or, you know, we can take a leverage upon this person that it will help us to overcome, you know, those kind of a situation. Miss Alisha, in terms of, you know, the books, what sort of books you think, you know, can really help a person, you know, overcome this kind of an abuse? Do you think reading books about self-esteem and all those things can be somewhere instrumental?
I do. Of course, I will put the disclaimer that I am a Christian. So certainly I think one of the best books for you to start with is the Bible. There's so many pearls of wisdom. And of course, you know, it's just like our car. You go to the manufacturer for what are the best instructions for the upkeep of that car. The creator would know that more so than anything. So definitely, if you have any type of spiritual belief, I believe you should go to the Bible first. But beyond that, as far as books, definitely read the stories of those who have been abused that are willing to step out and talk about the abuse, because, you know, people that have been through what you've been through know how to talk about what you've been through and know how to give you guidance on that, and you can build strength from that person's story. Also, I would say seek those foundations that deal with your abuse. You know, if suicide was your issue, for example, you would seek suicide prevention agencies and literature and programs that they provide. Same thing, if you were sexually abused, you want to look for books and different people. It might be a celebrity. It might be just a professor. It might be anyone that has been through that same type of abuse that has written literature, tells their story that you can relate to and let you know it's okay, but there is life beyond what's happened to you. And there are resources out there.
And it's quite depressing, you know, in terms of, you know, if you think out this way, that they, even though, you know, several abuse stories have, you know, turned out to be, you know, very successful personalities, and there are some iconic personalities like Miss Oprah Winfrey is there. A lot of other personalities are also there who have faced this kind of situation in their life, but ultimately they had they had been pride of their family. But still, you know, somewhere those people, you know, especially the parents, you know, they still have not, you know, realized this thing that that we should allow our kid or our, you know, loved one to, you know, fully grow as a potential talent, rather than, you know, imposing ourselves on them. You know, somewhere I think the parenting also have to, you know, take care, and they also have to, you know, understand and realize this particular mistakes. Anyway, we are today making an effort, you know, for people to, you know, understand this from your point of view. And I'm very much happy that Miss Alicia, that you have come on the show, and, you know, you have suggested some wonderful tools to my listeners, and at the same time you have tried to, you know, make people understand that this thing can be overcome, you know, by adopting those tools. You yourself have written a wonderful book called Sometimes All You Have Is Happy, A Guide to Obtaining Happiness While Awaiting Your Dreams. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what sort of help book is this, and what can the readers, you know, really achieve out of it?
Yes, thank you. First of all, I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be on your show and talk to your listeners. And, you know, this was a very, very cathartic time for me. I will tell you about that book, but also something else that you should know about. There's a second book. I just did a pre-release last week, so pretty soon it will be available on Amazon. But it's called But God, From Death to Life. And the reason why that book is so relevant is that it's poetry. And what happened, I have written since I was probably 5 or 6, but I looked over those poems, and some of them, you know, dealing with the depression, dealing with the suicide and the abuse and the anger, it was so shocking to me, because it was almost like I could not believe that things were really that bad. So the first book, Sometimes All You Have Is Happy, was just a thought-provoking, simple exercises to show you as a person that you have the power to make your life better from what has happened to you. One of the things when you go through abuse is that you feel powerless, and often you don't feel like you have a voice. That book was written based on the work I've done with different people on how you can take back your voice. You have the power to take back your life. And it wasn't a book that's written to be over your head or have all these long, drawn-out things you have to do. It's simply for you to sit down and begin at basics. Take a breath. Here are some questions. Here are some thought-provoking exercises that right now you can begin your work to recapture and reclaim your happiness. And, you know, the reason it's called Sometimes All You Have Is Happy, I believe in life the ultimate goal is for all of us to have exceeding joy. But, you know, when catastrophic things have happened to you, sometimes joy is something that's so far away you feel like you cannot reach that. That's the ultimate goal. Sometimes right now all I need is to get to the point of happy. I need to get that breath back. I need to be able to recapture something positive and feel like I can just get, you know, that step, that one thing to just hold me together. And if I can work on just getting that one little part of happiness, then I can begin to do the work to get to that loftier goal, which is exceeding joy. So I want a basic program, a basic thing, where you can sit down right now and just look at your situation from a fresh perspective. Be able to give a release right now, but also begin your beginning steps to come up with a plan of how you're going to deal with this issue and recapture your life back.
Okay. I think this can really help out people understand their problem, because sometimes what happens is when we are, you know, in the middle of something, you know, we are really not able to analyze and the situation that we are facing, and we don't know like which specific path we should follow and adopt, you know, what kind of questions we should ask ourselves so that, you know, a solution emerges from within us also. It's not just that we have to rely upon other people. God has gifted us with wisdom, which is within us. The only thing is that we have to sometimes awaken that wisdom and we have to seek those answers. But to seek those answers, we really need to, you know, ask the right kind of a question. And I think your book, which as you explained just now, that sometimes all you have is happy, is, you know, a tool in itself which can, you know, make us think about, you know, that what questions would be right, appropriate, or what things would be, you know, rightfully, you know, searched for within my own self, or maybe somebody from whom we are seeking this kind of a help. So I think is a very good tool. Would you give us one or two examples about, you know, the kind of questions that, you know, you have made a reader to ask stuck in a situation?
Oh, absolutely. I also wanted to mention it's four basic chapters. Mm-hmm. At the end of each chapter, you have a few exercises that you can do right now. One of the questions I ask, I'll start with the first chapter. If you can't change the situation, first you have to change your perspective. So one of the questions I ask is, what can you do right now to deal with your sources of unhappiness or your dissatisfied areas? And I use examples, so, you know, to go through of how it might be your perspective or the way you're looking at things. So what I do is have that person to really, you know, analyze that situation. I'll give you a short but brief example. You know, I had an issue where, you know, I've been to college, I have my degrees, and still I'm in this situation with employment where I feel like I'm, you know, underemployed, and it's not according to the education that I have. But then I had to start looking at some things in my life of how, even though this is below what I want, how does it fit in with my vision and my purpose? And then that was the part about changing the perspective. You know, I wasn't happy with that current job, but certainly I accepted that position because it took me out of the job that I was transitioning from. You know, that was an environment that was very demonstrative, that was an environment that was high pressured, and that was an environment that was abusive. You know, and we forget that even though in our jobs, there are some people that are abusing their power and also demonstrating a certain type of abuse. So I had to understand, you know, that position at that time gave me the space to heal. It gave me the space to, at that time, go back to school. I had set hours now. I was able to pursue a graduate degree. And it also allowed me just the breath to think about the goals I had in the future, some of the dreams that I had delayed. And now I had time and space to really focus on that thing. So really, when I put it in perspective, the job wasn't that big of a deal. It may have first appeared like, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're still not making the money you want. You're still not working according to, you know, what your education is. But look at the fact that that job is almost like your sponsor. It's giving you the time to get a grip back on your life, pursue some dreams and goals you have, which ultimately are going to lead you to a better space and time than being confined to someone's job title and what salary they deemed you to have. think about the people every day that are so depressed because of what they do in life, and they feel like they don't have a position of worth, and they don't have a salary that's highly esteemed. Sometimes we just need to change our perspective on a situation, and that will change the way we feel about our life at present.
I think is a wonderful example that you have cited from your book, and I would encourage my listeners that the copy of the book is available on Amazon, and all you have to do is you have to search for Alesha Brown's name, and the book name is Sometimes All You Have Is Happy. Or you can do one thing, you can visit Alesha's official website, which is thejoyguru.net, and you'll get to know more about Alesha, what her upcoming books, what kind of events she is doing for her speaking engagements, and you can learn a lot from such a wise person who has taken out time today to share her knowledge with my listeners today. And I'm deeply thankful to you, Miss Alesha, also that you know that many people, you know, hesitate to, you know, help out other people because what they think is in terms of, you know, a little bit of selfishness that nobody helped me, you know. If I went through, let people learn from their own mistake, let them, you know. But people like you, they come on the show, they share their story in order to empower the people that this kind of, you know, problems can be overcome. And for that matter, I really feel, you know, quite thankful to you that you have, you know, come on the show, you have shared your thoughts with my listeners, and the book that you have written is definitely a very good tool for people to realize the kind of questions they should ask and what kind of answers they can seek from their loved ones whom they trust if they really want some sort of a help, or maybe their own self, that these questions will, you know, trigger those thinking points to find a solution within their own life. Any final message that you would love to share with the listeners of Karen Harry Talk Show?
Absolutely. First, I want to say again, Harry, thank you. Thank you for, first of all, the opportunity to be on the show, but thank you for all the work that you're doing on the show with every single guest. Because if you don't give a voice to certain issues, you know, people still are going to suffer. One thing I want to leave with the listeners, some of the things I'm sharing with the second book, is that, you know, our children, we have to look at our kids. And I know one, some of the statistics real quick, just in the United States in 2013, suicide was the second leading cause of death for children ages 10 to 24. It was the second leading cause of death for college-age youth, and those are ages 12 to 18. And in the U.S. in 2013, more teenagers and young adults died from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. And I say those things to share this. Suicide is a real disease. It's more deadlier than cancer, heart disease, and other things we look at as being so devastating. So please, season your words in everyone that you deal with on every day. But more importantly, if you have a problem, if you have gone through something, one, seek help. Do not be ashamed. Do not remain silent. And once you have sought help and you're healing, because it's an ongoing process, it's a lifelong process. So, you know, you shouldn't feel like, you know, at times it feels like, you know, I thought I was getting better, but now it's like, you know, I feel like I stepped back. It's a lifelong process. But once you are in your healing and you're walking and reaching towards healing, please share your story so you can help someone else. Because as the cliche says, to heal is to reveal. So again, for more inspiration and to follow me and find out about books and things I'm doing, please visit thejoyguru.net. And my name is spelled Alesha, A-L-E-S-H-A. Last name is Brown. And that website has all of my contact and social media information. But again, Harry, thank you for this opportunity and thank you for this show.
Thanks.
Thank you for being in tune with Best Talk Show. Carry on Harry with entertainment editor Harry Johal on BalaBalaRadio.co.uk. Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.